Welcome to the Daily Real Estate Investor Podcast. I'm your host, Josiah Smelser. The Daily Real Estate Investor Podcast is the shared journey of building a real estate investment property business from square one. Join me as we learn together how to conquer the real estate game to reach financial freedom. Together, we will learn from people in all areas of real estate and business in our personal trek towards escaping the rat race. Be you. Do the work you love. Play the long game. Before we get going, make sure you're subscribed to the show on whatever audio platform you're using and jump over on YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Daily Real Estate Investor. We have shorts coming out daily as well as these podcast episodes on video. Welcome back for another episode of The Daily Real Estate Investor Podcast. We are excited to be back with another info-packed episode to help you guys become the very best real estate investors you can be. I got my co-host and rock star here with me on the show, Tony Moreno. Welcome, sir.
Man, you living up the energy with that intro right there. You got
I'm
me
living
hyped.
La vida loca, baby.
Oh, man. Oh, I appreciate you, man, for honestly everything you do. I mean, everything you bring to the table, man. This is great. So excited to be here.
Right back at you, man. Well, today on the episode, we're going to do two things. We're going to talk about a vacation rental deal that I just closed and our strategy on that, which could help those of you out there who are into vacation rentals. I get a lot of questions about this topic. And then we're also going, and I asked a friend, I said, if I could make an episode on one topic that would help you, what would it be? And he said, talk about what's required to get your first deal done. Talk about the specifics of what you need money for. And so Tony and I are going to talk through if you're trying to get your first deal done, or maybe you're trying to transition from single family to vacation rental or something. We're going to talk through that. Just how to get your first deal done and some things you need to look out for and plan for. So
can I ask you the questions? We can do
absolutely
interview style.
Yes.
All right. So let's see, what kind of property is this?
So this is a vacation rental property in the Smokies. This is in Pigeon Forge. I am a broker up there, so I help people buy and sell those. And side note, if you want help finding one yourself, reach out to me. Probably the best way is on Instagram, at Daily Real Estate Investor. Get on there and shoot me a DM and let me know you're interested, and I'll help you get set up on that. But I had a friend approach me, and this has happened often, but he wanted to get involved in buying vacation rentals, and we ended up buying this one together. So, and we worked out a deal where he's providing the equity, I'm incentivizing him on that, and paying him back before I receive any money from the property, and then he and I are going to own this thing together, and this is awesome. A win-win for us. He gets to learn vacation rental investing. He gets to use my knowledge and leverage my knowledge, so he feels like it's a lot less risky. I get to buy a property with his equity, and this is going to make us both money. And the beautiful thing is the depreciation that we both get from this.
And so that's awesome to hear. So this buddy of yours, how did he start trusting you? Because I mean, it's not every day that you see somebody, here's my money, go invest it. How did that get built?
That's a great question. So it's funny, like you don't realize who could be approaching you in the future. Because I got to know this guy back in college, and we happened to live on the same hall in the dorms, and we just became acquaintances, became friends, and he's just kind of kept up with me ever since that. He wasn't one of my best friends, but I would say he's a good friend, you know. But we'd never thought about investing together, but he kept up with me and was keeping up with my real estate investing show, the podcast, and he was following along with some of the stuff on social media. Then he got interested in buying his first rental. Well, you know, there was some apprehension around that. And I told him, hey, I'll sell you my first single family property, because I was getting ready to sell that. So I sold that property to him in an off-market deal. And I walked him through the numbers and walked him through what to expect. So he bought that deal from me and had a good experience with that. So that laid the groundwork for, you know, I can trust this person in a financial arrangement. You know, we had a deal there. Then he also lent me private money one time, and I paid him all that back just as agreed on. So we had, you know, two for two on both those transactions. So now he's more comfortable with me, and now he's thinking he wants to get into vacation rental investing. We had a phone call, chatted about the way this would work. I laid out all his options. I laid out the option of buying this by himself and me acting as the broker. And then I laid out the option of buying it with me and how that would work. And he wanted to go with this option of buying it with me. So blessing for me. Hopefully it's going to be a great blessing for him as well. But that's kind of how it all got started.
Okay. And how is the financing on this? How do you structure that portion?
So we structured this deal. We put 20% down on this deal. We used a conventional loan. The purchase price on this property was $730,000. And we decided we could have put only 15% down, but we would have still had PMI. And the interest rate would have been higher. And as you know, we're recording this May 10th, 2023. Interest rates have gone way up from where they were a year ago. And so you don't want to buy a vacation rental deal where, you know, you're really squeezing your cash flow with a lot higher rates, and you can manipulate that rate depending on how much you put down based on some of these lenders. So we elected to go with 20% down because our interest rate would be lower, and we also wouldn't have that PMI. So that helped our numbers, and we went 20% down, and then we also got the seller to pay a good bit in closing costs. So they covered a lot of our closing costs. And we also bought down the interest rate some through our closing cost. So we were able to get a good competitive rate, even though rates are high right now.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, that deal still makes sense, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So this thing pencils out to 25% cash on cash return. And I can walk through all the renovations and stuff we're going to make. That's after the initial cash outlay and all the renovations that I'm going to go through. That's after all that, everything all in. And that's even with our management company, that fee coming out as well. That's 25% after all that.
That's crazy. And that's, if anybody could find a stock that can do 25% return on investment consistently, please let me know, and I'll sell all my properties.
Yeah, yeah. And hey, here's the crazy thing about this. And I've talked about this in the past, but I don't know that people are truly grasping this. That 25% doesn't include the best part about investing in vacation rentals, which is the depreciation. Now, I've talked through this before, but try to track with me here. If you make $100K at your W-2 job and you buy a vacation rental for, we'll say, $500,000, well, that vacation rental, if you buy it right, should make you $40,000 profit, right? So now you got your $100 at your job plus your $40,000 from your vacation rental. So now you got $140. You can do accelerated depreciation by using a cost segregation study on that property. Cost segregation studies are done by cost seg specialists. You can get on Google, look that up, and find a cost seg specialist. They're everywhere. The reports cost maybe $1,500, $2,000, something around there. They're going to break out the components of that cabin into buckets, and they're going to put the roof in, let's say, a 15-year bucket. I don't know exactly, but the carpet in a 5-year bucket, the water heater in a 7-year bucket. They're going to break out all the components and put that in those buckets, and then that allows them to accelerate the depreciation on this property. Minus the land value. So we'll say on the $500,000 property, the land's worth $50,000. You've got $450,000 left in depreciation. If you're managing the property yourself, the way the tax code is written, and verify this with the CPA, this is not financial advice. I'm just telling you what I've learned from my CPA and how we're doing it. We have not had any trouble with it. You accelerate your depreciation. If you are managing that property yourself, you're going to qualify to take that accelerated depreciation past the $30,000 that you would take if you weren't managing it yourself, and apply that to your income. So you've got that $140 over here that you made. You would take $140 out of that $450 depreciation. It's going to net against your $140, and you're going to pay zero in taxes. So that $140, let's say you would have paid $35K in taxes. Well, now you've got your $40K from your cabin and an additional $35,000 that you didn't have before. So it's like the 25% on the deal we're making, that's not even the best part for me because we're getting the depreciation. So this year on my taxes, because I've got other properties making a good bit of money and I've got my broker income and everything else, that depreciation is going to cover over a massive chunk of my income and let me pay zero on that. I mean, that depreciation alone, you know, if I've got, this was 730, so I get half of it. So we'll call it 700 after the land. I get 350K. I could cover over 350K of my income this year. If I'm in a 30% tax bracket, that just saved me 100 grand in taxes in 1 year.
That's crazy, man.
It's crazy, man. Yeah, I'm telling you, and I don't think people understand this. I'm like, you know, if you're making a lot of money, saving 100 grand a year, like, what are you not, why are you not doing this? Like, it blows my mind. I'm like, you're giving money away that you don't have to if you just take some initiative and look into this.
And again, you can't do that in your W-2.
No.
You could only, obviously real estate is incentivized really well. And that's why, that's one of the beauties of this, this strategy or this asset per se. All right, so let's dive deeper into the numbers on this deal. Purchase price, you said it was 730.
Yes.
Down payment 20%.
Yep.
Now, what's your mortgage look like, if you don't mind?
Man, you know, honestly, Tony, I can't even remember. I just know that the cash on cash came out to 25%, and I factored in all this stuff. So
look, when you make it to a level that you're like soup, like your net worth is so high, you don't even know how many properties you have.
Oh, man.
That's at the point where Josiah is at right now, guys.
Dude, it's a trip, man. It's a trip. I have to, sometimes I ask the guy that we hired to manage our properties, I'm like, do we have an 8-bedroom cabin? I can't remember. And he's like, yeah, you have an 8-bedroom cabin. I was like, what's the name of it? Oh man, because we've got all the cabins in the Smokies, and then we've got 7 cabins on the lake in Alabama, and then we just added this one, and it's like, I think my brain got fried from all the burr properties we did over the years out in Texas and all the flips and stuff. But so, all that to say, like, the 25% cash on cash was mortgage, all operating expenses, you know, everything. And so we can talk about this a little bit. What expenses do you have to consider when you're dealing with vacation rentals? That's different than a single family. You've got all the normal stuff like taxes, insurance, yada, yada, yada. But vacation rentals, your largest expenses are cleaning and maintenance, right? So cleaning and maintenance are two very large expenses that you got to factor in there. So this is after all that. And we have property management factored in.
I was
going
to say, yeah.
Yeah. And the property management, let me tell this as well. We are offering to manage people's properties, vacation rental properties. So, and we're doing it at a rate of 10%. A lot of these vacation rental companies are doing this at much higher than that. So, if you've got a vacation rental property, I don't know where it is, but I'd love to talk to you about it. We could see if we could help you.
So when you close on this deal, was there anything that you had to do to it before getting it ready to Airbnb it?
Yeah. So it's very important when you have a vacation rental property that you are putting the property in the best position to stay occupied and make you money, of course. So what are vacation rentals? Why do they rent? Well, they rent because we're talking about a vacation rental. There's a difference in like just an Airbnb, something in, you know, suburban Dallas, versus a vacation rental cabin in the Smokies, like a 12-bedroom cabin. These cabins in the Smokies, people want to have an experience, right? So they want to sit on the back porch in the hot tub and look out over the mountains and watch the sun go down. They want to sit in the movie theater with their kids and watch a cool movie. They want to, you know, it's stuff like that. So, and then they travel up there because they're going to Dollywood. They're going skiing up there. They're going to the water parks. They're going to the state park to hike, all that stuff. So the important things are you want them to have a really nice experience. You want them to have nice amenities, and you want to drive sleeping capacity so you can house more people there. So when we bought this cabin, I went up there with my business partner who's doing this deal with me. We walked through the cabin. We identified some things that could be improved. Number one, the property didn't have granite countertops. So we've noticed, because we have properties that have granite, you know, that's really going to drive your bookings. Because if somebody looks at a deal and they're looking at spending $5,000 on a week at your cabin, and it's got these nasty old green looking Formica countertops. They're like, $5,000 for a place that doesn't have granite? I mean, this is, is this really what we want to do? You don't want them to say that when they look at your property. You don't want to give them any reason not to book. So putting granite in there, taking the countertops out, we're putting stainless steel appliances, so it's going to have a really nice kitchen. And then another thing that we found, there's a loft, and the loft has a set of bunk beds, and it has an air hockey table. If you take the air hockey table out, you can fit another set of bunk beds. So what's going to drive revenue more, an air hockey table or a place for two more people to sleep? No brainer, right? We know that it's going to be the bunk bed. So there's already a game room downstairs. This air hockey table is unnecessary. So we're getting rid of the air hockey table. We're putting another set of bunk beds in there. Then we notice that the couch upstairs in the family room, and then the couch downstairs in the game room, neither one of those are sleeper sofas. So we're replacing those with queen size sleeper sofas. So you could put two more people on both of those. So we're adding two sleeper sofas and a set of bunk beds. That's going to add sleeping capacity of six more people to the cabin. And when somebody's looking at booking a cabin, they're going to look at your amenities, and they're going to look at how many people this can sleep, and they're going to look at how close this is to everything they want to do. So the cabin's really well located. It's close to all the big attractions in Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg. It's got now increased sleeping capacity, and it's got nice amenities, hot tub, you know, new kitchen, and then great porches to sit on and have fun. And then it's got this media room, and it's got increased sleeping capacity. So we feel like this is really going to drive revenue on this deal.
And honestly, this is one of the finding a broker like Josiah in this case is very, very important, especially for newbie investors. I remember when I first got started investing, I made sure that my agent was an investor, because when I saw a property, I always like a second opinion. Obviously, if it's your first, you don't know much about it. And I remember every time I went to see a property with my agent, I asked him, you know, hey, what are your thoughts? And he gave me his thoughts on the idea. And there were several deals that we didn't buy because of his thoughts, you know, because he's been doing it for a while. I have not. So if you were to hire, you know, Josiah for his services, his broker services, he can be able to, for example, tell you where you can add value. And let's say a deal is at market value. That's okay. You can still probably increase the value, your income, your revenue for that property. Like, for example, what you said, maybe somebody will leave the air hockey table there, but you would say, hey, if you want to increase your income, I will put some beds here. So that's just keep that in mind. This message is sponsored by Josiah. I'm kidding. But anyway, and then the other thing that I was going to add to what you said, I love Pigeon Forge area, you know, Gatlinburg, Sevierville, Tennessee, the Smoky Mountains completely. The reason why I love that as a vacation rental area is because in the summertime, people still visit that area. In the wintertime, that area is still packed. So it's not like if you have a vacation rental at the beach, summer days, you're going to be great. Winter comes, it's going to be a dead season. Pigeon Forge area, and Blue Ridge, Georgia is another one that I really like. Those areas do not die, because in the winter, people like to go to the wood, to the cabin, a bonfire. So it says that scenario. And then in the summertime, they go to Dollywood, like you mentioned. And there's a lot of fun stuff to do over there in Gatlinburg. So finding an area like that, I call that, you know, in a sense, it's recession proof. Obviously, it's not recession proof, but in the real estate world, you're going to be fully booked all year round. So, man, that's
interesting
beautiful.
Point. Yeah, interesting point, because I have people contacting me on a regular basis asking if I can help them with shopping for vacation rentals. Of course, I love to, because I'm a broker up there. I can make some income off of it. By the way, if you don't know this, a lot of people do, but you don't pay your buyer's agent. The buyer's agent's paid by the seller. So it doesn't cost you anything to work with me if I'm your buyer's agent. And I can provide this extra value you're talking about, Tony, for free to you. So if I can help you figure out how to drive revenue on your property, not only find the property, but drive revenue, that's extra added bonus for you, right? But I have a lot of people come to me and say, you know, I don't know if Gatlinburg is where I want to buy my property. And I'm like, okay, well, why? And they say, well, I don't know that I want to go there a lot. And I'm like, what does that have to do with it? you know? And they're like, I'd rather go to this spot. And I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. Do you think that place is going to be booked out and make you as much money? And they're always like, I don't think it'll be booked out as much, but I like it better. And I'm like, okay, well, here's how I think about it. If the place in Pigeon Forge will make you, you know, for the same amount of money will make you 50K, as the place at the beach might make you 30K, but you enjoy going to the beach more, buy the place that's going to make you 50K and rent a place at the beach. You got an extra 20 mm-hmm. grand, you know, like you can rent places as much as you want. And the beauty about this is buy the place that's going to produce you the most income. And you can travel all over the world renting places. It doesn't keep you saying, well, we bought this beach place, so we're going to the beach every vacation we have. So I like thinking about it that way. So, and then a lot of times people say, oh, well, that makes sense. So when I was looking at buying my first vacation rental, I thought, I love Asheville, North Carolina. And I thought, I want to get mine in Asheville. Well, when I started, and then I thought about the beach naturally, because I'm in Alabama, you know, everybody goes to the beach in Alabama for their vacations or whatnot. I'd been through Gatlinburg Pigeon Forge before. It wasn't my favorite place on earth. I'll just put it that way. But when I started looking into how many visitors go there, it's millions a year, believe it or not, because of the state park. It's highly mm-hmm. traveled. And then I started looking at the beach. So the beach is like very up and down. Like most of the business is done in the summer. It seemed more recession proof, like Tony was talking about. And I looked into what it did in 2008. In 2008, up in the Smokies, it just kept bumping along and renting. And in COVID, during COVID, the Smoky Mountain area did far better than you would have thought. Like it kept hanging in there. Even now, with interest rates have gone up so much, you would have thought that the vacation rental market would have crashed, but the cost per bedroom of these properties is still higher than what we paid when we bought one 2 months ago. So I don't know. So far, I can't find a bad thing about it. Now there's people building new properties up there. You got to watch that. But I mean, it's been a wonderful place for us to invest. I just closed on one as I was just talking about. And so I still think, you know, over the next, you know, decade, it's going to be great.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate Josiah sharing. If you guys would like to hear more about Josiah's experiences up there while investing up there, let us know in the comments. If you're on YouTube, let us know on the 5-star review that you leave us. Put it in there. Let us know if you want to hear more about that. Because, I mean, I think, honestly, it's a niche and strategy that not a lot of people are into, and I think they want to get into. Be sure to follow Josiah Smelser at Daily Real Estate Investor on Instagram, TikTok. Same thing on YouTube. Hit that thumbs like button and subscribe. And I am at Ant1234 Moreno. Ant1234 Moreno. Josiah, anything else you want to say and close us out?
Yeah. We said at the beginning we were going to talk to people that were wanting to buy their first deal. Let's just give them the very high level. We got a few minutes left. Let's give them a very high level what you should be thinking about when you buy your first deal. So Tony, tell on your first single family, what did you learn that you need to be thinking about expense wise when you budget for buying your first property?
I would say always thinking of CapEx. I always, in my first deal, I always account to replace the big dollar items because I don't want them to hurt me maybe like 5 months, 6 months, a year into the property. I don't want that big ticket item. So before you buy it, put that in your rehab numbers. Also, of course, you need down payment and closing costs. So be sure to account at least 2% of the purchase price, have that ready for closing costs additional to the down payment. And of course you need money to get started investing in real estate. Real quick ways you can get money to get your first investment deal. You can do a HELOC on your personal home or secondary home if you have one. You can also tap into your 401k funds by either getting a loan, or if you ever moved employers, you know, you quit a job, you can use those funds as well in an IRA that we can dive deeper later. But you need money to get started investing in real estate. You want to add to that?
Yeah. So my first deal, you know, you got to have a down payment. If you want to go the house hacking route, you can buy it with as little as 3% down. You could do an FHA, 3.5% down. That's a wonderful way to get started. So you got to have that down payment. You got to pay for your closing costs. I like structuring the deal with the seller where they're going to give me a good portion of money towards paying for my closing costs. That way it preserves the cash out of pocket for you when you close. You're going to have to pay for your appraisal. You're going to have to pay for your inspection. Typically those are out of pocket. So think about those costs. Then like Tony said, once you close on the deal, now the thing's yours. So anything that goes wrong, you're on the hook for paying for. So you always want to go in on the front end and have an idea of what you're going to have to repair, right? And, you know, if the place has got a new roof, that's a benefit to you, right? If it's got a new water heater, that's great. How old is the air conditioner? You know, what's the plumbing like? Do you need to replace flooring? Do you want to redo the kitchen? Like, all those things matter, right? And there are loans where you can buy the deal and renovate the house in that one loan. So there are ways to go about doing this where you're not having to come out of pocket for all the renovation costs as well. Then, you know, on our last episode, which you didn't catch that, go check that out. But you can also use private money to help you take down some of the stuff or use it for the renovation or whatever. There's a lot of different ways to do this stuff, but you want to have the down payment. You want to make sure you're properly accounting for your closing cost. You want to make sure you're properly accounting for your holding cost. Now, if this isn't a primary residence and this is a rental property, you want to make sure you're accounting for your holding costs before you get this rented. This is a mistake that a lot of newbie investors make. They buy the deal and then it takes them 2 months to get it renovated and rented. And during that 2 months, they got a payment or two to make. That's coming out of your checking account. So you want to count, you want to budget for that. And if you're doing flips, holding costs are something that people don't budget all the time. They'll say, here's the ARV, the after repair value. Here's what I can buy it for. Here's my renovation cost and here's my profit. They forget to account for the holding costs, which are ticking the whole 5 months that it takes you to buy, renovate, and sell that thing. You know, if your holding costs are $1,500 a month, there goes $7,500 you didn't think of. So you got to account for all this stuff. But what I do is I get an Excel. I put line items and I list this stuff out and I add it up and I make sure that I'm also budgeting for CapEx, like Tony's saying, have a budget for that stuff because that stuff can slip up on you and cost you a lot more than you think. And we can dive into this more in depth on another episode. But if you've got any questions, feel free to connect with us. We've got a Facebook group you guys need to join. It's the Daily Real Estate Investor Facebook group. It's a private group. Get on Facebook, find that group, join up with us, connect with us on Instagram. We're also on TikTok. I'm on LinkedIn under just my name, Josiah Smelser. Tony, you on LinkedIn?
I am on LinkedIn as Anthony Moreno.
There we go.
That's my first name. That's my full name there.
There we go. And we're out of time today, guys. We will we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks for coming along on this journey with us. We love you. Peace.
See you guys.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please connect with me on Instagram at Daily Real Estate Investor or via email at josiahsmelser@gmail.com. My new book titled Dream It and Build It, How to Crush Your Real Estate Investing Goals is out. You can get it either in digital or physical format on Amazon. Once you've read the book, please leave me a review. Tune in next time for another episode of the Daily Real Estate Investor as we both join in our financial freedom journey.